Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. Now, here's Pastor Mo.
Well, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you are and all that you will do. We ask, Lord, as we've gathered here from all around the state and the world, those watching online, we've come here not to listen to a man just talk about what he thinks is important, but to listen to the Word of God being preached. So today, Father, we invite your Holy Spirit to be with us, to teach us your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, church family, do you know, before you came to church, you've been prayed for. Every day at 8 a.m., there's a group of us who pray for you and ask that you will experience victories in your life, that God will fill you with His Holy Spirit. Our desire is really for each and every one of us to be in heaven when Jesus comes again. Amen? And that is our greatest desire. And tomorrow morning again, another group will gather at 8 in the morning and pray that God will be with you throughout the week, that He will fill you with His blessings, protect you from the evil one, and help you to have courage when you need courage. God indeed is a wonderful God, and what a blessing it is to be part of His kingdom. It was 1998, and something special happened today, as I have the privilege of studying with some gentlemen, and I did ask them if any of them were born in 1998, and none of them were born in 1998. And for the first time in my life, I felt a little bit old. But in 1998, in the wonderful country of Kenya, one morning, there were some men with bad intentions that got together and had planned for a long time. They decided that they wanted to inflict as much destruction as possible as they could do. In the midst of that, they went to the American embassy, planted some bombs, and detonated the embassy, killing about 200 people and injuring more than 4,000 people. It was a deadly attack, one that the world had not seen for a long time. In there was a car that had a couple in the car, and the couple unfortunately died, but there was a sticker in the back of the car that read, "God is love." God is love. When we think about life and we think about all the things that happen around us, sometimes we might ask the question, if God is so love, why is there so much suffering? The title of today's exhortation is Crossroads. Is God truly love? And indeed, God has an answer for it. And the answer is found in the cross. In the cross of Jesus Christ. Let's see it for ourselves. Let's go there to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I really enjoy my time studying the Word of God, and as we were there wrestling with this question this morning, is God truly love? In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul answers this question in an indirect way, but you'll see that he's very intentional when giving his response. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, if you're there, if you could say good amen. Praise the Lord. Paul says these words, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When we think about the creation of the world, oftentimes we might say, well, if God knew everything, why did he allow for sin to happen? But maybe those of you who have children and those who might have children of the heart, how many of us knew that one day maybe our children might make a choice that might not be pleasing to us? How many of us knew that might be the case? Now, if your children is right next to you, it's okay to still raise your hand. I knew. But I understood that in order to have love, in order to have love, there had to be a risk. I knew that there was the possibility that my children would make a choice that might even break my heart. But because I wanted to love, we had to make a choice. And God there, knowing everything about the world, knowing everything that could happen, he wanted to love, and he wanted to be loved. He knew that in order for us to have the freedom of choice, there had to be a choice. God did not create evil, because evil, just like darkness, is darkness the presence of something. Oh, let's think about it. Marina, that was very confident, but let's think about it. Is darkness the presence of something? It is the absence of something. The absence of God in our life is what fosters an attitude of evilness in our life. The more God is absent from our life, the more we will want to do evil. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us continually that at the end of time, the angels that are holding the winds of strife will be pulled away. And man will be able to do evil, will have its sway upon the world. Now, could you imagine if things get even more worse than they are today? I was just reading online and about how a certain person decided to kill his friend that did not give him the right ingredient. Over the wrong ingredient, he decided that his friend's life was cheaper than having the right ingredient for his food. We see it around us. Man's thoughts are evil. Perpetually evil. But God there, being a loving God, seeing what had to take place. Imagine if we were, somebody might say, well, why didn't God just stop evil right there? Why didn't he just stop the terrorists right there as they were about to bomb that place? Why didn't he just stop Satan as soon as he had something in his heart that was becoming evil? But let me ask you the question, my friends. If all of us were singing in the choir in heaven, by God's grace, that will be all of us one day. We're singing in the choir in heaven. We're singing praises to God, and there is Lucifer right by next to you. We don't know exactly what's in his heart. We don't know that he wants to take the place of God. All that he told us is that God might not be as good as you think. We're singing in the choir, we're singing praise ye the Lord, we're rejoicing angels that can sing different tunes at the same time. And as we're singing praise ye the Lord, Lucifer is right next to us and he sings praise ye the Lord, but in his heart he wants to be God. And all of a sudden you see Lucifer, he drops. He's dead. Now, you remember the other day that Lucifer told you that God was not fair. And Lucifer is on the floor. What would be your idea of God at that time? Now, we might be singing praise ye the Lord a little bit louder because we don't want to end up like Lucifer. But in our heart, we would start to doubt the love of God. We would start to think maybe God is not that good. Because Lucifer told me yesterday that God is not good, that God maybe does not trust us. And today, Lucifer, what happened to him? He died. In order for God to allow love and freedom of choice, let's go back to our singing again. We're all gathered, we're singing Praise Ye the Lord. God sees exactly what's in Lucifer's heart. But God has to make the choice that in order for there to be free love and free choice, evil must mature. The world needs to see that if you choose the path of evilness, that it leads to destruction. But if you choose the path of God, it leads to what, my friends? Eternal life. Evilness must be shown its true colors. It must be allowed to mature. But there is a point where evilness must be cut short. Amen? And Jesus will come again. I'm just trying to summarize for you as we dive into this text. But the battle still was, and the question still is God truly love? Does God truly love me? When I see all these things that happen in Nairobi, Kenya, and I see that sticker that says, God is love, is God still truly love? At the cross, God shows that He's truly love. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, let's take it bit by bit. Paul understood one thing, is that not only at the cross did God show that He is love, but it is also at the cross that evilness is defeated. It is also at the cross that self is put to death. The other question we might ask is, if the world is so evil and I feel in my heart that I am evil, how can I possibly be saved? How can I make sure I don't end up like those people that blew up and killed so many other people? If you and I are honest with ourselves, it is sometimes easier to do bad than to do good. It is easier sometimes to make the choice to do things that are not right, to follow Satan's way than to follow God's way. And Paul today tells us, here is the key, my friend. Here is how you overcome evil. Let's go again to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with who, my friends? With Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? In order to understand that, let's go to Romans chapter 6. Remember, we are trying to understand how to overcome the evilness in our hearts. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. If you go backwards, you must travel through Corinthians. And after you travel backwards through Corinthians, you're going to reach the Romans. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. The Bible says it this way. It says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with who, my friends? With Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of what, my friends? Of sin. Paul here, the writer of the book of Romans, says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with who? With Christ. In other words, as long as we try to let that old man, that old self, as long as we're trying to adjust it, it will always keep coming back. The old man must be what? Crucified. Christian life and conversion is not about behavior correction. It is not about doing this or do that. It is about transformation in who? In Jesus Christ. It must be a total transformation of self. The old man cannot be allowed to live. The way how we think, that is the old man, the way how we did things in the past, the way how we behaved, all of that when we come to Christ must be nailed where? At the cross. Everything must be put to death. It must be nailed to the cross. When you come to Jesus Christ, you cannot say, well, I'm just going to adjust myself. I'm going to try to do this way, do that way. No, you must go to the cross and say, I am done with the old man. I am done with the old man. As a matter of fact, go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. When you go to Romans, you cross to the Corinthians, then you reach the Galatians, and then you find the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. The Bible says it this way. It says, but you, have you not so learned Christ? If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old what, my friends? The old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. How is the old man fed? How is the old man fed? According to the word of God. According to the deceitful lust. It continues. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the what kind of man? The new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. In other words, my friends, when we come to Jesus Christ, we must ask for a new man, amen? The old man of the flesh, meaning the old man represents our sinful desires, our appetite for the world, for evil. Jesus Christ is able to crucify that old man. You cannot crucify the old man. You and I, however hard we try, we cannot save ourselves apart from Jesus Christ. We must go to the cross and that thing must be nailed. But once it is nailed to the cross in Jesus Christ, we start to live a new life by faith. There's something else we must be reminded of, my friends, is that once Christ crucifies the old man, he's trying to tell you one thing, is that he can give you a new life, new desires, a new way of living. But you must not want the old man back. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, now we know what it means to be crucified in Christ. What does it mean to live in a new life in Christ? Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Are you still with me, my friends? Praise the Lord. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be what, my friends? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Once you've gone to the Lord and asked the Lord to crucify your old self, you must ask Him now to give you a new mind, to renew your mind. And the agent in Scripture that does that, he is called the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, He will change your desires. He is called the Helper, the Comforter. He will be your strength. But you must be willing to work with Him. Sanctification is cooperation. It doesn't mean that you just sit there and say, God, do everything. Because God will not do everything, because if He did everything, then He will bypass your freedom of choice. If you and I want to desire God, we must choose to desire God. And God gives us the strength to follow Him. But we must be willing to walk with Jesus. Amen? We must be willing to say, Lord, I am willing to give you my life. I am weak, I know, but in you I am strong. You see, God will never force us. So we must surrender our will to Jesus Christ. It is at the cross that we understand the personal magnitude of our sin and the depth of the love of God for us. It is the only place in Scripture where we understand how horrible sin is and how beautiful the love of God is. It is the only place in Scripture where you truly understand that when you see the evil in the world, that God truly is still love. Why? Because He died for me and He died for you. There's something we must understand as well, my friends, is that sin will not last forever. Amen? Death, violence, pain, and brokenness will not be forever. The devil is turning up the volume and he's trying to tell you, you're going to suffer forever. You're hopeless. But God is trying to turn up the volume of the cross of Jesus Christ and He's telling you, no, you're worth something. And Satan himself will be defeated. Amen? And Satan saw a mirror when he looked at the cross. He saw that he himself will meet an end. But unlike Jesus Christ who rose from the grave, Satan will be buried forever. It is as we look at the cross of Jesus Christ that we gain the victory over sin. But we must look to the cross. Paul here, let's go back to our anchor text, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Now we understand what Paul says. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul says this, I have been crucified with who again, my friends? With Christ, meaning the old man. He has decided that has to be done away with. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives where? In me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in who? In the Son of God. In other words, what Paul is saying is that the life that I now live, I keep it. My focus is on who? It is on Jesus Christ and nothing else. Now, is Paul still a human? But the difference is what? He has a different focus. His focus is on Jesus and nothing else. You remember, those of you, all of you are Bible scholars, he says, I wish to know nothing among you except what? Jesus Christ and what? And him crucified. Why was he so relentless? Because he knew that the key to overcoming sin in his life was to look at Jesus Christ and nothing else. The evil that was in his heart, he knew that if he looked at himself, it would overwhelm him. But if he looked at the cross, he would find deliverance. The Bible continues. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who did what, my friends? Loved me and gave himself for who? For me. Ellen White, in Desire of Ages, page 75, she says, it would be well to spend a thoughtful hour each day reviewing the life of Christ from the manger to Calvary. If we would be saved at last, we must all learn the lessons of penitence and faith at the foot of the cross. Christ suffered humiliation to save us from everlasting disgrace. He consented to have scorn, mockery, and abuse fall upon him in order to shield us. It was our transgressions that gathered the veil of darkness about his divine soul and extorted the cry from him as one smitten and forsaken by God. He bore our sorrows. He was put to grief for our sins. He made himself an offering for sin, that we might be justified before God through him. Everything noble and generous in man will respond to the contemplation of Christ upon the cross. The mighty argument of the cross will convict of sin. Amen? This is where Christian perseverance comes into play. The part that you and I play in this experience is to keep our eyes on who? On Jesus. Keep looking up. Keep looking up. And the more you behold Christ, the more you will fall in love with Christ. And the more you fall in love with Christ, the more you will trust Christ. And the more you trust Christ, the more faith you will have in Christ. And the more you will become like Christ. The Bible says, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we look at the cross, we realize he did it for me. How can I be lost if I place my trust in him? What sin really is, yes, it is the transgression of the law, but ultimately what that means is that sin is misplaced love. It is choosing to have somebody else above God, something else above God. It is choosing to have a different focus than the cross of Christ. Whatever today takes our focus is an idol if it takes the place of God. It could even be quote-unquote good things. It could be all sorts of things, but if they take our attention away from Christ and they have the best of us, that is an idol. That is an idol that must be crucified. Jesus gave all of us. And I tell you, my friends, he's worthy of all of us. If you're struggling today in your Christian experience, go to the cross. If you're in despair, go to the cross. If you've been searching for righteousness, go to the cross. If you're struggling to trust God, go where? Go to the cross. That's right, my friends. If the old man has been beating you up lately, go where? Go to the cross. If you've been distracted and you're tired of the world, go to the cross. If you want to be freed from the evil one, go where? Go to the cross. There's new life there. There's eternal life there. There is love beyond degree there. Lastly, this song, I think some of you know it. It is called At the Cross. I'd like to read the words to you. It says, at last did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die. Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Thy body slain, sweet Jesus, thy and bathed in its own blood, while in the firm mark of wrath divine, his soul in anguish stood. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide, and shut its glories in when Christ, the mighty Maker, died. For man, the creature, sin. Thus might I hide my blushing face, while his dear cross appears, dissolved my heart in thankfulness, and melt my eyes to tears. But drops of grief can never repay the depth of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. This is all that I can do at the cross. The appeal for you and I today is let us go to the cross every day. Let us not let anything take our attention from Jesus Christ. From Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Is it your desire today to say, Lord, when I look at myself, I don't know how I can be saved. But when I look at you, I don't know how I can be lost. Are you willing to shift your focus today and say, I want to keep my eyes on Jesus? If that is you, why don't you stand with me? And as we stand together, some of us, maybe we have never crucified the old man. Maybe we have thought that we can make the Christian experience by just adjusting some of our behavior. But we've never gone to God and say, Lord, take all that I am, take it away, and give me a new man. There's some here today that we'll be doing this, making this choice in a very real way, through baptism. And they'll be making a choice saying, Lord, I'm going to be baptized as a symbol of me choosing a new life in Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite Cody, if that's okay, Cody, if you can come up front here. Because our brother Cody here is going to be getting baptized on June 24. Amen. Amen? And he is making this decision. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he's decided that Jesus is worth it. And he has said that I would rather live for Christ than live for the world. This man over here has overcome a lot. But he has kept his eyes on Jesus Christ. If there are any of you here who have never made the decision to give your life to Jesus Christ, it's not too late. Today is the best day to make that decision. From here, it'll only get harder. But if you would like to make this decision, we're going to have a word of prayer. And when we have this word of prayer, I'm going to give you the opportunity to raise your hand and say, I too would like to take this even further and say, Lord Jesus, I want to give my life to you in baptism. And I want the old man to be put away. Let us have a word of prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, Paul was a man who had to overcome a lot. But he realized that the only key to victory was to die to self, to go to the cross, look up, and see the infinite love of God for him, and overwhelm his soul with your love. And as a result, he said, I want to do away with my old way of life. I want this life, the life found in Jesus Christ. Today, we want to pray for Cody, who will be making a decision very soon to be baptized in the watery graves and to rise as a new man by faith in Jesus Christ. Many of us here as well, Father, we need this kind of death, the death of the old man, for we want a new life in Jesus Christ. If any of you here under the sound of my voice, all heads are bowed, if that is you and you say, I want to maybe recommit my life through baptism, or for the first time, I too want to get baptized, then why don't you raise your hand for Jesus Christ? Amen. As you make this decision for him, God will bless you and God will keep you. For if he who is with us is greater than he who is in the world, then we have nothing to fear as long as Jesus is with us. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done, all that you will do, and for dying on the cross for sinners such as I. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed his sermon, why not visit him every Saturday at 1601 Nichols Road in Kalamazoo, Michigan at 11 a.m. or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.